Good evening, UCA! Okay, I can kind of see the service is getting taken over by some wonderful people here.
So this is from someone here, I guess.
Oh, you don't know who?
What do you want us to put these?
Huh?
How do you want to see?
Yeah, just set them right there. Okay, I confess to you this morning that the only place on planet Earth I would rather be at this very moment is with my little nephew playing video games, but I think you can understand that. But you know what? I don't know, a lot of times us pastors, people tell us how much they appreciate us and how much of a blessing we are, but I just want to let you know that the person that's really getting the blessing by making the decision to be here is me. Because getting the chance to listen to you sing, seeing the revival that's happening on this campus this year, talking to students about the prayer last year that went on, towards seeing this year coming off the way that it is. You know, seeing God working in you, that's what it's all about. You know, tomorrow we're going to be going out and we're going to be doing service. And you know, this is something I strongly believe in. When I was at Walla Walla University, I got involved in every single service day that we did. We did tri-service days, we did Walla Walla service day, we did all kinds of service days. I remember one of the most memorable things was getting a chance to go up to the New Hope Cemetery up on the hill near Walla Walla and actually wash people's gravestones and remember those that we have lost. You know, recently I actually had to do my first graveside memorial, speaking of hope. And the woman who passed away, we did an anointing service for her 30 days before she passed away. She was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. It was pretty much a death sentence. But we gathered together with all of the elders of the church. We sat with her in the chapel and we prayed. And as we prayed with that woman, we shed tears, we laughed. We talked about the hope that we have in Jesus. And when I left that room, we left her and her husband alone in the chapel, and she got up on the piano, and she started to play, and she sang the song, "It Is Well," more beautifully than I've ever heard it played. You know why I love the season of my birthday? Well, in October, the leaves start changing color. They're beautiful. And as I was preparing to do this graveside memorial talk, I went for a walk near my house. I looked up, and I noticed that the leaves were changing color. It was almost my birthday. But then something hit my mind. In that moment that the leaves are changing color and they're the most beautiful they are in the entire time during their life, they're actually dying. You know what I realized? I realized that this woman whose graveside memorial that I was going to do, her name is Gail Dickerson, had a beautiful life all throughout her life. But at the end of her life was absolutely beautiful. Because of the faith and the hope that she has in Jesus Christ. You know, tomorrow we're going to go out and we're going to serve people. And in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to this world to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." You know, I know sometimes getting out of our normal routine, going out into the community, and giving people hope, choosing to be his hands and feet and to serve, it can be kind of hard. But I want to encourage you that when we go out tomorrow, that as you're helping people, as you're doing your service projects, I want you to pray for God to move with the power of his love and his Holy Spirit in your hearts so that when you interact with people, that they can truly see God living in you. Because friends, when we share Jesus, the only one who's ever conquered the grave, we share the only hope that this world has. Before I get into my talk tonight, I just want to mention to you, before I came over here tonight, I got together with Enoch, Charles, Cedric, Brendan, and Karsten, and they've started this new project. It's one of the things that's happening on this campus that shows me that students are excited about showing God's word to other people. And so what they're doing is they're doing this really cool project called 60 Second Boost. What they're doing is they're taking scriptures and they're doing 60-second devotionals on those scriptures, putting them up on YouTube and sharing them all over social media. So as you see these guys putting this out all over the internet, What I'd like you to do is take just a second, 60 seconds of your day, to listen to the devotional thoughts. Next week is going to be one on Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 that I went ahead and did for them. But take the time to listen to that. And if it blesses you in your life, take the time just to click and share. As you're sharing God's word, just a little 60-second video, and I know our attention spans with all the social media we have is really short in today's age. But as we share the word of God 60 seconds at a time from UCA all over the world, it will reach thousands and thousands and thousands of people and plant little seeds of God's love in their heart. Friends, if we do that, we can make a huge difference and we can get people excited about the word of God, which can lead them to the one that gives them hope. So I just want to say thank you guys for what you're doing here at UCA. Okay, so Upper Columbia Academy, are we ready for part 6 of Week of Prayer? Thank you. Before we get started, you know what I want to do? Sometimes prayer for me is not just praying. It's playing a song. And I just want to play a song for you tonight that I think this song, well, I know God gave me this song, and it's called How Great Is Your Love. And, you know, I think so often in our lives we're trying to do the right thing so that we can get close to Jesus. But what we forget is that when we're struggling in our daily devotional life, when we're struggling to make time for prayer, when our lives are getting really busy and we feel like everything's out of control, we start feeling guilty, like maybe we're not doing enough to earn God's love. You know what I've learned in my life? When I'm broken, when I'm down, God loves me just as much. He's with me just as much. It's in those moments when I'm really weak that I need to accept his love the most. And I just want to play this song for you.
Change my heart, but make me more like you. How great your love for me. Oh, how great your love for me. Oh, how great your love for me. The Lord declares, I know the plans that I have for you. The plans to prosper you, to make your dreams come true. My hope and my prayer that I'll stand for you. Jesus, change my heart and make me more like you. How great your love for me. Oh, how great for me. Well, how great your love for me. It's your love for me.
And so, God. And so, God, as I'm opening your word tonight, I need you to help me. Because I feel like, God, what you've put on my heart tonight, it's important. It's been a long day. God, in my own strength, if I'm up here alone, God, I can't share Jesus with anyone. Without you, I'm just clay. I'm just dust. But when you breathe into me, God, you give me the words to speak. You make me brave. You make me brave enough to be forgiven. Let's go ahead and read our scripture together. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10 says, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Okay, so let's do a quick review. On our first talk, we learned that what it means for him to make us brave means that we need to be brave enough to what? Okay, so brave enough to believe. In our second talk, we asked God to make us brave enough to? Okay, in our third talk, we said, "Lord, make us brave enough to live." You got it. In our fifth talk, we asked God, "Make me brave enough to cry." And this morning, I shared with you a talk entitled, "Lord, make us brave enough to be a hero." In John 15, 12 and 13, it says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." You know what? I've found in my Christian journey that it's been a lot easier for me to try to do things to love other people than it's been for me to actually let God love me. And as I shared with you this morning, you know, I used to think that someone was a hero because they had the power to force their will on anyone. But now I know what it really means to be a hero is to love someone enough that you would be willing to lay down your life for them. Willing to lay down your life for them. When I look at Jesus, it's almost like I'm looking at someone who's an anti-hero. What he's done for you and I in loving us unconditionally is something that we see no other hero ever do. Tonight I want to talk to you about something that's very important in our Christian walk, being brave enough to be forgiven. Well, remember the night that I was playing video games with my nephew and I helped him beat the Super Mario game and he told me I was his hero? Well, that night I sat next to my bed and I played the song. I wrote the song that I played for you this morning. And as I fell asleep that night, I prayed and I asked God. I said, "God, if you can do anything to show me that you actually have the power to work through my life, to change me, to make me a different person, to help me overcome my alcohol, my cigarette addiction, more than that, to actually help me to have a character, one that my little nephew sees in me, a person that's a hero." I fell asleep. I woke up the next morning, and I walked into my brother's office, and what happened next was nothing short of a miracle. Now, for those of you that are computer savvy, you use the internet, and that's probably all of you sitting in here, you understand that if you have a favorite search engine for the internet, that you program the homepage, right? When you click on the icon to open up the internet, whichever page you've programmed as your homepage is going to be the one that comes up, right? Well, this morning when I woke up, I went into my brother's office, I sat down at the computer, I clicked on the thing, and I expected to see what? What do most of you have as your homepage?
Google.
Google. I expected to see Google. But instead of seeing Google, do you know what I saw? I saw a web page. It said, Mount Hood Community College, the home of the saints. What? I never went to this website in my entire life. Now, here's the part that makes it a miracle. When I was in high school singing in the choir, my choir teacher's name was Don Clausen. Just like my brother, he was always giving me a hard time. Stephen, I know you're using drugs. Stephen, I know you're smoking cigarettes. Stephen, I know what you're involved in. If you could just clean your life up and make a decision to go to college, you could really use your music to make a difference. You see, Don Clausen kind of had the idea that I'd been raised in a Christian background. He could tell. He kept trying to encourage me to make a decision to change my life. One day, he sat me down in his office and he made his final plea. He was getting ready to leave Port Angeles High School and take a job at a different school. He sat with me and he said, Stephen, I know of this school. I know your parents are divorced. I know you don't have a lot of money. But if you would just make the decision to move down to Oregon and go to Mount Hood Community College, I know that they have a good enough music program there that they could really help you do something with your music. Here I was, all of these years later, sitting in an office, remembering a conversation that I'd had with Don Clausen, a guy that was trying to encourage me to change my life. Now, it gets even better than this, because what happened next was I remembered that my grandparents lived up in the greater Portland area, in Oregon. I called them. I talked to my grandfather, and I pled with him to give me a chance to let me come and live with him to try to turn my life around. I asked my grandpa where they were living. He told me they were living in Gresham, Oregon. I put in their address and searched for directions, and guess what? Mount Hood Community College was literally 1 mile from their house. I knew at that moment that God had answered my prayer. He was telling me that it was time for me to take what little money I had, take a leap of faith, get on a plane, fly up to Gresham, Oregon, live with my grandparents, and try to start my life over again. Now, here's the crazy part. The crazy part is about this time, I realized that I would have to try to explain to my brother what had just happened in my life. The funny thing is he was always giving me a hard time about drinking, right? And smoking, riding me for not changing my life. The funniest thing happened that afternoon. He came up to me and he said, hey, Stephen, let's go out to the bar tonight and shoot a game of pool. Man, I wanted to tell him in that moment the things that had been going on in my heart and my mind, but I just didn't have the courage. That night, we went out to the bar, he bought a pitcher of beer, I had a few sips off the glass, and then I set it down on the pool table. Now let me just tell you, I had never before in my life ever left a beer unfinished. But in this moment, I know that God gave me the courage to be brave enough to tell my brother what I said. I said, Aaron, I know you're gonna think I'm crazy, but last night I prayed for God to show me his will for my life. And this is what happened. I explained the whole scenario to him. He looked at me as if I had literally lost my mind. My brother was like, dude, you can't quit smoking, you can't quit drinking, you can't do any of this stuff, and you're telling me you're gonna take what little money you saved working at Subway, walking 5 miles to work every day, and 5 miles home, and you're gonna get on a plane, and you're gonna go to Portland, Oregon, and you're gonna turn your life, you're gonna go to college? You're absolutely crazy. You think that you're gonna be an evangelist? I actually told my brother that night, I think that God has had a call on my life, my entire life, and I'm just gonna have the courage to follow that call. Well, as you guys can guess, I packed up all my stuff, I took what little money I had, I FedExed it, and afforded just enough to get on a plane. You know what God did? He did amazing things. I landed up in Portland. My grandfather was worried I wouldn't get a job. It was back in 2008, 2009, in the worst part of the economy, and Oregon State had the biggest unemployment rate out of any of the 50 states. But guess what? I had a job in 7 days working at Red Robin, making pretty good money. And not only that, within 3 months, I was accepted to Mount Hood Community College, I had my FAFSA stuff figured out, and I actually figured I had just enough money with the money I was making at Red Robin and the federal aid I could get to start college. My life was turning around. It was amazing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 21, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It wasn't too long after I got my job at Red Robin that I got my first check. And this is when something really, really bad happened. Really bad. I got my first check. I went to the bank that afternoon. I was all excited. It was way more money than I was making at Subway. Put my money in the bank, went back to work, and that night when I was driving home, I saw this bowling alley advertising gambling and drinks. I don't know what came over me. It was like I was trying everything in my life to drive past that location and go home. I was literally only 2 miles from my grandparents' house. But as I was thinking in my mind, I'm going to turn this steering wheel. I'm going to keep going straight. I turned the steering wheel, went into the parking lot, and the next thing you know, I found myself sitting at the bar, totally inebriated, with all of my money gone. I had gambled my entire paycheck away, and I was totally blitzed. In that moment, the devil began to whisper into my ear, "Stephen, you're never going to be any different. You're just a loser. See? God can't really change you. He doesn't have a plan for you. You're always going to mess up. You're just a loser." You know, as I was looking back at my life at this moment, I realized that I relate a lot to Peter. You guys know the story about Peter, right? Peter told Jesus all the time that he would follow him anywhere. He said to Jesus that he would follow him even to the point of death. Peter was the guy always trying to do everything he could to show God that he'd really made things right, that he was good, that he got it, that he could do something to impress God, that he could do something to impress Jesus. Well, as all of you know, in John chapter 18, verses 15 through 18, we find Peter right after making all of these bold claims about how he'll never leave Jesus' side, denying him 3 times. You know, as I look at the story of Peter, I look at my life, and I realize that in my life, there were many times that I wanted to give my life to God. And the minute I had that inclination that I wanted to give my life to God, I would start trying to do things to earn God's love. I would try to read my Bible more. I would try to pray more. I would try to force myself to stay for Afterglow, even if I didn't like it. I would try to show up for chapel on time. I would try to do all the things that would show everyone around me that I was really making a change. I would try to come home one night without buying cigarettes, without getting a drink. I would try to do the things that would show other people that I was really changing, that I could really get it together. But no matter how many times I tried to get it right, I found myself just like Peter. I found myself just like Peter. Every time things would start going good in my life and I would think that things were going in the direction that God wanted them to go, I'd find myself falling back down again, denying Jesus and going my own way. How many of us in this room feel like they've had an experience like that? Peter kept trying to express to Jesus that he was his most loyal follower. Why do you suppose we do that? Why do you suppose we feel like we have to do something to earn God's love? For me, when I'm trying to impress someone, I am trying to earn their love. You know how that is when you really like somebody, you try to do things to impress them? Well, as I looked at Peter's story and I thought back on my life, I realized that in my life, I was always trying to do things to impress Jesus. I thought if I could just do the right thing, that he would bless my life, suddenly things would change and it would get better. But it never did. Well, as you know, in John chapter 18, 25 and 27, Peter denies Jesus a second and a third time. But I want to focus something, I want to take you to another story in the Bible that kind of shows you and illustrates to you what it means to be brave enough to be forgiven. You see, in John chapter 21, Jesus comes and he finds his disciples. They're discouraged. They've given up on their call. They've walked away. They think to themselves that they don't have what it takes to actually follow the great commission that Jesus has given them. Yeah, they looked at the whole world and they thought, Jesus is actually calling me to preach the gospel to the entire world, but I don't have what it takes. So I'm just going to give up and I'm going to go back to my old way of life. I'm going to go out and I'm going to be a fisherman. Jesus comes and finds them on the beach, and what he does shows me that Jesus is love. Before Jesus ever asked Peter if he loved him, Jesus did a miracle for the disciples that day that was very unique for their needs. Jesus stood on the shore, told them to go out and try again. They caught the fish and he brought it in. And then Jesus sat on the shore and cooked the disciples breakfast. How many of you have ever been in trouble before? You had to come home and admit to your parents that you'd done something terribly wrong. But when you woke up the next morning and they were cooking you breakfast, you knew that they had forgiven you and things were going to be okay. Well, that was my experience that night. I was sitting in a bar. I was totally drunk. I'd gambled all of my money away. And the devil started whispering in my ear how pathetic I was. I made the stupid decision of walking out of that bar, getting in my car. I had a thought come into my mind. You're never going to change. You should just kill yourself. I drove out onto Powell Valley Boulevard and started driving as fast as I could. I'd made the decision that I was going to drive across the median and slam into anything that was coming and end my life. I had gone totally ballistic over what had happened because I didn't want to have to go and face the people in my life and let them know what I had done. But you know what happened next? God did a miracle. Suddenly, my phone that was sitting on the seat started ringing. I looked down, and the words on the phone were "Mom." The very next thing, my mind suddenly changed, and all I wanted to do was tell my mom all the things she had done to ruin my life. I pulled into the Walgreens, I got on the phone, and I started yelling at my mom for 15 minutes straight. And when I finally stopped, she said something I'll never forget. She said, "Son, ever since you were a little boy, I've known that you had a Joseph anointing on your life. You may be in a deep pit right now, but I'm going to do the same thing that I've been doing for you ever since you were born. I'm going to hang up this phone, and I'm going to start praying for you, believing that God's going to take you out of the pit you're in, and he's going to put you somewhere really high serving him." She hung up the phone, and I had never been so angry at my mom in my entire life. Because what I wanted her to do was say, "Son, I'll give you money so that you don't have to tell grandma and grandpa what you've done." I'll never forget what it was like actually making the decision, sitting in that parking lot, to drive home. I drove home, and the next morning, or that night when I got home, I had to tell my grandparents what had happened. But when I woke up the next morning, I could smell food in the kitchen. I didn't have money for rent. I wasn't keeping my promises, but my grandparents gave me another chance. Isn't it amazing what Jesus did for Peter and the disciples? They weren't obeying his command. He came, he found them fishing. But instead of confronting Peter about denying him, Jesus first did a miracle for them that showed that he loved them. And then he sat on the shore and cooked them breakfast. That's exactly how I felt that morning when I woke up and my grandmother was cooking me breakfast. She had forgiven me, and it was okay for me to just move on with my life, put that mistake behind me, and let Jesus move through me. You know what? When I look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 21, I see them in a brand new light after that experience. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God." The righteousness of God in him. You know what I realized from looking at this story? I'd been trying my whole life to impress God. I'd been trying to earn his love, to get good enough. From that moment in my life, I decided that I was going to do what Jesus suggested Peter did. Remember the part of the story when Jesus walks up to Peter and he asks him, "Peter, do you love me?" You guys remember that part? Well, what does he say to him right after he asks him, "If you love me, feed my sheep"? He asks him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" Every single time when Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I love you, you know that I love you," Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." You know what I realized when I was looking at that story this last couple of weeks? I realized that when we receive God's love, what he asks us to do is then immediately share that love. He doesn't ask us to try to make ourselves better, to try to behave better, to try to read our Bible more, to try to work really hard to impress God. He doesn't even ask us to try to do things to make Jesus love us. He just says, "Receive my love. Let me cook you breakfast. Let me sit with you. And then in receiving that love, he says, hey, do you know what I want you to do right now? I want you to go share the love that I just gave you with somebody else. You know what I realized in this experience? I realized that I didn't have to keep spending my life trying to get good enough for God to love me. But what I needed to do was just let Jesus love me and then immediately go out and love other people. I didn't need to try to quit smoking. I didn't need to try to quit drinking. I didn't need to quit trying to do all the things that I had kept trying to do. What I needed to do was let God love me and then go out and start sharing his love. And let me tell you why. You and I are people that experience all of our lives from the inside out, right? Everything we experience, I can never experience things through your eyes. I can only experience them through mine. So when Jesus died on the cross, he realized that if he was to send us the Holy Spirit that could actually live through us, if we would actually live in Jesus and let him live through us, we would let him love us and change us and make us a new creation. If we would let Jesus do it, that he could actually live through us, in laying down our lives and letting Jesus live through us, we would be able to not only experience God's love, but we would be able to share God's love with others. And that's exactly what Jesus was telling Peter that day. Peter, let me love you. And then take that love and immediately share it with others. Because friends, when we share God's love with other people, that's when we actually understand God's character. That's when we actually come into an understanding of who he is. We experience his love, and it changes us from glory to glory to glory to be just like him. Friends, tonight I want to ask you to be brave enough to let God love you. I know that every single person in this room struggles with different things. In our walk with Jesus, we all constantly feel like we're falling short. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what it is for you. I know what my struggles are. We all go through them. But you know what? I want to ask you to quit trying to fight your struggles on your own, to be brave enough to be forgiven, to be brave enough to receive God's love, and then to be brave enough to share it with others. Because I believe that it's by receiving God's love and being forgiven that we become Jesus's hands and feet. UCA, will you make that commitment to me today that you will come to God, let him love you just as you are, and then share that love with others? Now, I made all of you a promise today. I made all of you a promise. But before I come through with that promise, I just want to say this. I used to think in order to be forgiven that I had to prove to God that I was worthy of his forgiveness. But now I know that being brave enough to be forgiven means receiving God's forgiveness and then sharing that forgiveness with others. Lord, I want to lay my life in your hands. I know you got a plan. I don't understand. I know I'm not the man. I don't have the strength. I know that I'm broken. Every time I look at your word that is spoken, I feel I'm falling short, and I can't see why. The harder I try, the farther I fall. I'm not tall enough. I'm not brave enough to make it. I don't know how you take me from the bottom to the top of the mountain to see your glory shine on me, but I know I need your love from sea to shining sea to make me different than I am, to make my heart beat faster. I know that you're the one. I know you're the master. You're the way, the truth, the life. You're the only way that I'm living. Jesus, please make me brave enough to be forgiven.